Robbers. I talked about some of the things that will sabotage your future, and I'm going to get to what I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But last week I talked about failing to forget the past. You have to move past that. You can't be a hearer only of the Word of God. You have to be a doer as well as a hearer. James 1:22. Don't just listen to the Word, but do what it says as well. You have to have consistency in your life. Without it, you'll miss something that God wants to do in your life. If you just do things when you kind of physically feel like doing it, you'll miss something great in your life. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast to confession of our hope without wavering. You can't waver. You can't live in a life that lacks consistency. And consistency isn't always fun. Hello. But being consistent will help you move past the opportunity that the world, the flesh, and the devil would try and steal your destiny. You can't live in fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you and I a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. And the enemy, he would want to cause you to live in that lifestyle of fear and worry about things that can't happen, haven't happened, that really aren't going to happen. But if the enemy can get you thinking what could be and the worst of whatever, he's won in your life. It's a destiny robber. It sabotages your future. And God wants to help you and I and lift you and I out of it. And this isn't in my lesson up on the board today or on the screens, but in Psalm 119, 130, the Bible says, the entrance of your word gives light. Hear that just a minute. The entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding. When the word of God comes, it helps you and I to understand, and it shines a light in areas and places in our lives that may be covered up with darkness. That's why it's so important to read the word of God, to hear the word of God, to speak the word of God, because you can speak about everything else in life. You can talk about how bad everything is, but you're not going to get anywhere doing that. But when you begin to speak the word of God and what it says and what God says about your life and your situation, it brings light and it exposes what the enemy would try to cast over you as darkness. The word, the entrance of your word, it brings and gives light into every situation of your life. And that's what I want to do here for just the next few moments this morning as we just share together. And I want to talk about the importance of your atmosphere, the ambiance that you live in, that you create, and that you habitat, you dwell in. You know, one of the reasons that I'm not a big drive-through person, I never have been, I don't go to fast food places, although I got to admit, I had a man working on a lawnmower of mine, and he loves McDonald's coffee. And the first time I've been into a McDonald's in, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years, I went in the new one down on East Main the other day. I'll tell you, I walked into that place, and the ambiance there was trying to trap me into eating a cheeseburger. I ordered coffee, and the lady there says, sir, would you like anything else? And I'm thinking, you're talking to the wrong guy. Do I want it? I want one of everything you got up there. I have a Big Mac, a quarter pounder with cheese, a big large order of fries, extra crispy with extra salt. Then I caught myself and said, no, the coffee is fine. Thank you very much. But the atmosphere, I don't like to go. I said all that because I don't like to go through drive-thrus because I like to walk in and experience the atmosphere. I like to walk into a great coffee shop and smell the coffee and hear the grinders grinding and hear that espresso machine squeezing the sweet nectar of some beautiful beans into a cup that I'm going to consume in a moment. Praise the Lord. How many of you want a cup of coffee right now? Atmosphere. If I ever go into a bakery, which bakeries are like crack cocaine to a drug addict to me, I walk into a bakery and I'm smelling fresh bread and I'm seeing them pour the frosting on cinnamon buns. Somebody say amen now. And I'm in the atmosphere. Come on, Rufus, help me out. I love the atmosphere. And God loves atmosphere as well. You and I, we live in a world that is dependent on atmosphere for many things. We walked in here today. There was an atmosphere when we walked in. People shook your hands. They smiled at you. You heard music playing. And no matter what you were facing or dealing with, something was beginning to lift up out of you because of the atmosphere that we were in. There is a physical atmosphere like the ones that I just described. And then there is the spiritual atmosphere that is very real as well. And you and I have a lot to do and really influence and controlling that in our own lives. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities. You might think that your issue is your neighbor or the person in your life that you work with that just boggles your mind and really upsets you. Maybe it's one of your siblings. But the reality of it is we don't wrestle against other people. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers, rulers, the Bible says, darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. There is an atmosphere that we must protect and that we must recognize that has an importance to our lives. And we know that atmospheres can be healthy or they can be negative. You can walk into a certain room and you can feel kindness. You can feel joy. You can feel wanted. Well, one of my favorite, I was telling somebody yesterday, one of my favorite coffee places, a little place on Park Avenue in Rochester called The Pour. I just love it. I walk in there, and before I get in, 1 foot into the door, they're behind the counter, and they say, "Hey, welcome. We're so glad to see you today." Man, even if I didn't drink coffee, I'd go in there just to hear that atmosphere. And then I've been into places where I've walked into, and it was gloomy, and it was dark, and it made me feel like I wanted to turn around and go back out the door. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And no words even have to be exchanged for you and I to have that sense in our life. And it impacts our spirit. Who we are as a person is dependent on the atmosphere that we choose to expose ourselves to. That is why we must consider where we go, what we listen to, who we talk to that has influence on the ambiance that we inhabit, because it affects not only who we are at that moment, but what we become. When I was a little boy and my dad was an alcoholic, and you heard me tell the story, my dad would take me to the little hotels that he'd go through to, sit me in a corner at a table, get me a Coca-Cola. It was warm. It was terrible. Sit it there while he'd sit up at the bar for hours getting wasted out of his mind, fraternizing with people there that he shouldn't. And when I was a little boy sitting over in the corner of that dark little bar, having that negative influence happen to my life. How many of you know if that trail would have continued in my life, I'd be sitting there today instead of be standing here today. Because you have to be cautious. Amen. If you're going to clap, don't mess around. Give one for Jesus this morning. Because your atmosphere affects not only who you are, but what you will become. And I'm talking to moms and dads here. I was standing as we were worshiping. I was thinking of husbands and wives. You know, I haven't always been the perfect guy at this. For years, I'd come home. I'd be upset, work, and I'd come in the house. I'd want to, you know, I wasn't physically abusive, but my words were not building a healthy atmosphere. And sometimes I'd come in and be upset, and it would change the whole temperature of the house. I want to talk to moms and dads today. I've repented for that 10,000 times. And if you're having issues and troubles in your home, you might consider changing what you're communicating out of your mouth to create a better atmosphere in your home for love and peace and joy and to grow your family in the things of God today. You may be in the house today. You may be wondering, why is it we're so miserable in our house? Our kids are fighting. This is going on. Change the channel. Change what comes out of your mouth and get help. If you need help doing that, ask for it. Sometimes you can't do it all on your own. You got to be exposed to some people that will have influence and input and mentor into your life. And that doesn't mean that you're small, insignificant when you have to ask people for help. Listen to me, men. Men are the toughest birds in the pack. I was just sitting with somebody. I don't even know who it was. So if you're here, I can't even think of who it was. I was telling them, you know, ask for help. Well, it's hard for me to ask. Well, why? Well, I just don't want anybody to think I need help. Come on today. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 50. If you need help, ask for it. And some of you older men, you need sometimes to ask the younger men for help. Hear me now. That doesn't mean that you're weak or insignificant or that you've missed something. But sometimes God does something in the younger men that for some reason we missed in our lives. Listen, some of the greatest mentors in my life are my sons. And the young men that are around me, I listen to them. They speak into my life. They bring encouragement to me. They tell me things. You shouldn't do that, Dad. This morning, a couple of guys came in. They're roadblocking the street. I said, I'm going to go out. My boy said, don't go out there, Dad. I went out, but I did what they told me. I'm not preaching mad. I'm preaching happy, aren't I? Aren't I?
Amen.
Preaching happy. But I listen to my boys when they tell me things. Sometimes you need to listen to the younger, not just the older men. Sometimes you need younger men in your life. I'm not discounting the wisdom of an older person, but I'm telling you today that sometimes somebody that can mentor you is younger than you, and they can speak something into your life. I loved what Garrett said up here when he was talking about, you know, the world and his view on politics and everything. I'm just sitting up here. I'm listening to him, and he's a smart booger, but I'm still bigger than him in my mind. I need that in my life, don't you? We need to watch the atmosphere that we expose ourselves to. God can do anything, but can he in a negative atmosphere? Mark chapter 6, the Bible says that Jesus said to him, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, in his own home. He could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people, heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. Did you know that God responds to atmosphere as well? He's everywhere, but he does not manifest his presence equally everywhere. He manifests his presence when the atmosphere is right. And God loves a celebration. God loves when people praise and worship him. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3 that God inhabits, he moves in, he builds up his abode, he inhabits the praises of his people. And that's why it's so important. Listen, I don't know if you're one of those that show up to church after the worship is done because it's not singing sweet, swing low, sweet chariot, and you don't like any of the other. You need to get in the atmosphere of praise and worship because right then and there, God inhabits that praise in your life and in mine. Make sure you're a part of that. We need to worship the Lord. We need to be in an atmosphere that's filled with praise and worship. And you need to invite that into the ambiance of your life. And don't wait for someone else to create it and start it. You do it on your own. You start it. You initiate it. You participate in that. You fill the atmosphere with his glory and praise and worship. But when you are in an atmosphere where there's fault finding and complaining and murmuring, it's not inviting to the presence of God. In fact, it has quite the opposite effect on it. There is a story in the Bible in Mark chapter 5, Jairus, who's daughter was sick to the point of death. The Bible says that the mourners were at the house. It was a Jewish custom. They were all there. But the Bible says that when Jesus got there, he asked all the mourners to leave. Get all the negative, get all that away from me. I don't want it in the house. I don't want it near my situation. And the Bible says that when they left, that he took the mom and dad, he went over to the little girl, their daughter, and says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the Bible says in verse 42, immediately the girl got up and walked. She was 12 years old. Let me tell you something. God can do anything, but he works and manifests miracles. He gives great answers to dilemmas in an atmosphere of praise and worship. And if you'll really adhere to that today, you will see the hand of God working in your life. And it doesn't mean that everything's got to be perfect. Doesn't mean that everything's got to be just right. Let me tell you something. You can have an attitude of praise and worship in the toughest of places. The Bible says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. When the fruit of the Spirit is in operation in your life, you create an atmosphere for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and do what he can do so good. When you live in an atmosphere that's negative, you invite the oppressing evil spirits to come and have control into that situation. When you begin to speak negatively over your family, over your spouse, over your children, when you speak negatively at your workplace, when you speak negatively about yourself, you are agreeing with the negative spirit, the Antichrist, that would like to come and destroy whatever it is that you're a part of. But when you begin to believe God for the good things that he has for you and speak what his word says about you, you now push the darkness out and you then begin to bring in what is right into your life. And if you live in an atmosphere of whatever, the Bible says that that's exactly what will happen in your life. It's not whatever will be. It's whatever I create in that atmosphere is what will be. If I'm in an atmosphere of praise and worship, the power is going to come down on my life. And if I'm in an atmosphere and I'm letting whatever happen and whoever speak whatever they want in my life, I'm going to open my life up to all kinds of negative things. Depression, fear, worry, hopelessness, negative emotions of every kind will attack my mind and my life. So what do? We change it. We make a decision, we're going to change it. Isaiah 61:3, the Bible says, Isaiah, he communicated, we need to put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Right in the middle of whatever it is that's hurting you or that dark cloud over your head, you just have to verbally begin to praise the Lord and combat whatever it is that's happening in your life with a spirit of Jesus in your life. You got to put on sometimes some praise music. We were at a picnic yesterday, and in the distance there was some people. They had a band going, and it was some older rock music. Yeah, I don't mind it. It's fine. It doesn't bother me. But one of my sons said, "You like that music, Dad?" I said, "Yeah, it's all right." But I don't have any of those stations in my car or in my house. I'm not downing it. I'm not saying it's bad. But I got this much space in my little brain. And if I fill it up with songs like "My Wife Left Me for My Neighbor and He Had a Better Boat Than Mine," and I'm remembering all those words, is there really a song like that? I don't even know. If I'm filling up my mind with "My Tractor's Sexy," I got a tractor. Ain't nothing sexy about it. If I'm filling my mind up with that, and when I get to the place where I need help and all I can think about is all those songs that I got to get a handkerchief and wipe my eyes. Oh, God. No. I fill my mind up with some things, some songs, some music, some praise. I got a song in my heart. So when the enemy comes against me in one way and I begin to declare the word of the Lord and sing the song of the Lord, he flees from me in seven different ways. No weapon formed against me. Come on today. You got to have that. And I'm not talking I'm not downing that kind of music. Don't leave here and say, oh, Pastor doesn't like that music. I don't, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I got this much brain, and if I fill it up with good stuff, when I'm attacked, guess what comes out of me? Good stuff. The power of God. The word of God. And I overcame through by the word of the Lord, the blood of the Lamb, and not loving my life even unto the death. I don't overcome by the things of the world. I overcome by the things of God. Come on today. Do you believe that in your heart today? And one more thing before I just move on. I'm going to close here in just a minute on how you change it. But you don't help your atmosphere. Hear me now. I am troubled by Christians who are involving themselves in fortune tellers and psychics and palm readers and reading your horoscope and thinking anything good is going to come out of that. Hello! Their doctrines of demons. You are darkening your atmosphere. Kick it out of your house. Get it out of your atmosphere. Invite the power, the presence, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength today. Completely. So what do I got to do to change it? I'm going to close in just a minute. You got to unplug yourself from a negative atmosphere. You got to do it. The world's going to try to club you with its ways, with its things. And you have to focus on Jesus and the things that are found in the Bible. And say, well, I don't know it. Well, get to know it. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by changing, renewing your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Create an atmosphere of worship and praise in your home. Maybe you got to get rid of some of that old junk music. Get rid of it. You know, I loved it. When Danny Gokey was here a few weeks ago, how many of you just love that Sunday? Come on, that was so powerful. But you know what I loved even more than that is for the days going past that, every time I would get around my grandchildren, there's hope in front of me. And the kids are singing and going on with that. Come on. They were inviting an atmosphere of something bigger into their life. And it was becoming a part of who they were. Now, as they grow older, if something comes against them, they know they can stand up and say, I don't know about that. But I know one thing. There's some hope in front of me that I'm going to get past. And that's why it's important to have that coming into your home and into your life today. You got to do it. Get rid of the junk. Know that even in a storm, God can cause you to flourish. Hear this now. Whether even if you're in a storm, even if you're going, it doesn't mean that just because you turn on praise and worship music that the enemy isn't going to try to bombard you and allow a storm to come into your life. But even in the midst of it, Psalm 92:12 says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He'll grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And God makes you and I like a palm tree. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's caused you to be flexible. He's caused you to that when troubles and trials and hardship comes, you don't break. You just bend over. Hello. Do you know some of the characteristics of a palm tree? Do you know if you plant a tree and you put some straps around it, hold it in place, stake it out, that if you don't take those straps off, that tree will literally grow around it, but not on a palm tree. You know what a palm tree does? It grows up and it breaks the binds, the wraps that try to hold it down. That's what you are. The enemy could try to put his hand around you, but when you're growing in God, he'll make you strong. You just stand up someday, pop them things off like they're string on top of you and run and do the things that God calls you to do. The palm tree breaks the bands as it grows. Another characteristic is that it will bend and it does not break. No matter how strong the wind is in your life, that palm tree will lay almost right over, but it will not break. It'll be down there, and then when the wind stops, guess what it does? It comes back to form, but it's not the same height that it used to be. In fact, the wind causes it to grow a little farther, stretch out a little more. Some of you, you're going through a tough time today. I want you to know that God's not done with you. He's got a plan for you, and he's just allowing you to be bigger and stretch out to do more things for him. Amen. The palm tree doesn't simply grow in a desert, it flourishes because now it's growing its root deep below the sands and the hot surface to find the moisture below, and it's growing into something good. Also, palm trees are not just good alone, but they're great when they're growing and grows. It creates an oasis. And often in a desert, when you find a group of palm trees growing, there'll be an orange tree or a lemon tree growing under it. Why? Because they provide shade for that. And also, and I love this part of it, as a palm tree grows older, its fruit grows sweeter. Psalm 92:14, they'll bear fruit in their old age and stay fresh and green. Do I have any older palm trees that you're just fresh and green here today? Come on. Some of you need to work on that a little bit. Just because you're old does not give you the opportunity to be miserable. When you get older, you should be happy. Amen. Sit around with a big smile on your face. And when the younger people walk by and say, hey, would you like something? Yes. Bring me a plate. People will wait on you. But if you're mean and nasty and miserable, they'll run from you. That's not in my notes. That's free. You don't even have to pay extra for it. Micah 7:8, don't gloat over me, my enemies. Though I fall, I'll rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Don't forsake the time of and place of prayer. You got to have that in your life. Don't forsake a place of connection. You need others in your life. Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now. The day of his return is drawing near. You need other people in your life. Hello. You need somebody could be sitting within 15 feet of you, could be the answer to the dilemma that you're going through. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm there in the midst. Don't forsake the power of partnership. This is helping you with your atmosphere. Connect with people that will help your spiritual life. I've already talked about it. They don't necessarily have to be older than you. They can be younger than you. They can be half your age. They can be less than half your age. And speak a word into your life. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. They help each other to succeed. If one person falls, the other one can help them out. But if someone who falls alone, they're in real big trouble. Don't be alone. Be around great people. Expose yourself, even if it's uncomfortable for you to do that. Expose yourself to great people. Put yourself in a spot where it will stretch you and make you uncomfortable. And glean and gather and grow into that. God, if you'll ask him to, he'll take you before great people. Because you need to pay the price for the right atmosphere. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. Come on. You go to work on your atmosphere this week. I love to bless my wife. I love to bless my family. I love to do things in particular for my wife that will just cause her to be shocked and surprised. I live to do kind things for her. If I take her somewhere, if it's a special occasion, I make sure ahead of time. I'll call the people. I'll tell them I want the right table. I want to be positioned. I want to sit in the right place. I'll do whatever I can do. I'll get the flowers. I'll get her some fine chocolate. I'll do everything to create the ambiance for the blessing to happen. It's the same thing in our spiritual lives. I want the power of God to have such a profound doorway into my life that no matter what it is, what's going on, God, here I am. I want you. I want to create that, those moments with him that nothing can take their place. I want to be in the house of God. I love to hear the music and the worship and the band and the singers. I love to be in that place. God speaks to me every time. I'm telling you, before I come here many, many days, I have just a small level of, it's not anxiety, but I get nervous. But when I get in the presence of this atmosphere, everything changes. I've been into some of the hardest and darkest spots in my life, and you don't even know. But when I walked in here, some of you that are here today, just by your kindness, a smile, and your worship, you created an atmosphere that lifted the darkness off my life. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Maybe you're here today. Maybe this is the first time you've been here. Maybe you've been here and there's been just pain and hurt. Maybe you've been confused in your understanding of how important that atmosphere is in your life. If you'll walk out of here today and you'll embrace that, God will change that trajectory of your life. He really will. I want you to close your eyes with me and bow your head with me just a minute this morning. I give you thanks, God. Ryan, come on up here. Mike's over there on the table there. Hallelujah. I want some of the prayer people to come down to the altar, if you would. I'm going to close in prayer in just a minute. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is something that today is your day. You need to do that. It's not only the birth of a great country today, it can be the birth for you of a brand new life. Maybe you're here and you've made a decision for Christ, but you've never turned that corner to really begin to live for Him. You left here, you went into the same atmosphere that you came out of, nothing really changed. Listening to the same music, hanging around the same people, drinking the same stuff, doing all the same things, thinking you just gave your heart to Christ and He'd just get you out of trouble. It's greater than that. It's more than that. He wants to give you life and that more abundantly. Maybe you're a husband and wife here today and things have been tough. You've been going through just a tumultuous time. God wants to lift you out of that. Sir, He wants to show you the things that you can do to make a difference. Ma'am, little changes, big doors swing on little hinges. Little changes make all the difference in your life today. I'm going to have Ryan close in prayer in just a minute. And then after he's done praying, I want you to come down. If you need Christ, these people will pray for you. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, these people will agree and pray with you. If you're a husband, your wife, married today, you're going through, you just need some help, these folks will pray. This is a no condemnation zone here. There's no judgment, love, and a hope that you'll begin to live your life the way God's called you to live. Ryan, come and pray.
Father, we just ask that you change our atmosphere. God, that you'd anoint our atmosphere, that Father, everywhere we walked, every place we went, Father, that we carry your presence. Father, we know that there's fullness in it. We desire you this morning, Father. We seek your face, Father. I ask you, God, that in this coming services, Father, that your anointing would fall, Father, that there'd be a change in the atmosphere. The spirit of praise, the spirit of worship would rise up in this house, God. And it wouldn't be one or two or three. But Father, it'd be the body of Christ in this house. We give you thanks, Father. I pray for families, God, that you'd minister joy and peace, God. Bring love where there's been hurt and pain, God. Minister to us, Father. So we open our hearts, Father. We open our hands before you. We say, have your way, God. Do in us what we can't do, Father. Change us. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for this time. We're thankful for your word this morning in your house. In Jesus' name, would you say amen, church? Be blessed, church. If you need prayer, come down, would you?